gathering in the Lord's house on this beautiful Lord's Day to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this Lord.
Amen. It's okay to clap. Thank you, Bert and Mark, for our prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It has been a wonderful day of ministry already. We began our morning upstairs in our fellowship hall with our teacher appreciation brunch at 9 a.m., a wonderful time gathered around the table, and we are looking forward to our worship service this morning as we have our annual blessing of the backpack service as we lift up prayer for our students and our teachers and our community as it is that time of year where our students go back to school. Our teachers have been prayerfully and diligently preparing for this new school year, and we lift up our community as well as our Elon students have returned. So again, we're looking for that time of blessing a little bit later on in our worship service this morning. For those that are gathered with us this morning, thank you for joining us. If you are a first-time guest with us this morning, thank you for joining us for worship this morning. I'll ask that if you have an opportunity to fill out one of the visitor's cards that may be located in the pew in front of you, and then as you leave worship a little bit later, you can drop it off in the offering plate as you leave this morning, just so we can have a record of your visit with us. If you're watching us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online this morning. If you're watching us for the very first time, thank you. And send me an email this week. Let me know how you're connecting with us this morning so I can follow up with you later on this week as well. You can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org, and you can pull up our worship bulletin there. Use that as a resource for today's worship service, but also to know what's going on in the life of our church. And I want to point out a few of those things to you this morning. I am excited this afternoon about our second annual block party cookout that will take place at 5 p.m. Now, I have been praying hard. I started looking at the weather forecast on Friday, and it did not look good for today. However, on Friday, it didn't look good for the weather this morning, and it's not raining yet. And so I'm going to keep on praying this afternoon that maybe that storm is going to push on out. However, if it does rain this afternoon or this evening, we're still going to have the cookout. We are going to meet upstairs in the fellowship hall inside for a time of fellowship. We've already invited the community. Three or four of us walked around our community on Thursday afternoon, passing out invitations to all our neighbors around the area. We've sent out information about our cookout, and we are excited for a great turnout again this year for this second annual block party. So please come out, do your part by showing up this afternoon. The official time is from 5 to 7. Of course, we want all our church members to show up early, 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, to help out get everything ready, especially if we're outside, because we'll have to set up the tables upstairs in the upper parking lot. We'll have a couple grills going, help with the food, set up games outside. If it's inside, it'll be a little bit less work. However, we still want you to arrive early to be a part of this fun opportunity. But then again, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock this evening, come out, enjoy time with your neighbors, sit with them, fellowship with them, get to know them better, because we want to be good neighbors here at First Baptist Elon. Looking ahead in our calendar for things coming up this week, first want to remind our senior adults, we have our senior adult luncheon coming up on September 19th. You probably saw those sign-up sheets in your Sunday school classes this morning. Make sure you sign up for those. We're going to have a wonderful baked spaghetti luncheon. We'll have Austin Decker from Baptist Aging Ministry will be coming and sharing, talking about staying safe from frauds and scams. He does a wonderful job of ministry, so I encourage you to sign up for that ministry opportunity coming up on September 19th. Also, a chance, the opportunity for a fun and fellowship trip coming up. Actually, it's a men's trip being sponsored by Rob Johnson, who had this great idea. He'll be taking the men on Monday, September 11th, to visit the National D-Day Memorial in Bedford, Virginia. If you are interested in this trip, men, I encourage you to sign up. There's more details on those sign-up sheets located around the church. You can also ask Rob, who'll go into detail about this trip. And again, this would be a wonderful opportunity. That trip is on Monday, September 11th, a day we all remember. But I encourage you, if you want to go on this trip, to sign up soon so we can make sure we have enough space on the church bus. And if we need more space, we'll make sure we line that up as well. You'll see more details about that trip in the September newsletter that will be coming out later in the day, later in this week. When we get that finalized, you'll also notice this morning in your bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, about our September mission collection. We'll be collecting items for the Alamance Regional Cancer Center food pantry during the month of September. Want to go ahead and let you know that's what we're collecting. So starting next Sunday, start bringing items for that collection. You can place those items in the collection bins in the communication center or upstairs in the fellowship hall. Again, we are gathered, assured of Christ's presence with us in our worship service this morning, and the Spirit's guidance as we gather here this day. Let us lift praise to Him as Brian Carroll leads our worship group this morning.
And if no one will be offended, I won't leave from here. I want them to be able to see. And brief way of announcement, if you walked in this morning and went, "Man, it's cold in here," you're too skinny. And if you walked in and went, "Man, it feels real good in here," you are my kind of people. So if you are cold, stand up and let's sing Blessed Assurance, all three verses together. Words are on the back of your bulletin or on the screen.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 138. Listen to these words. I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose. For me, your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. And for that truth, we can hold tight to this day and every day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning with those who love you, that we might sing your praises and share your love with one another. You have shown your faithfulness to us every single day, days in the ways that we do not even recognize. So we gather today, just today, in order to thank you for your constant watch over us. Help us to entrust our lives to you and your purposes as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in the power of your Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You see, you're already getting warmed up. Stand up or sing him today as Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let's raise our voices together.
Yeah.
So the school year is upon us. For some, classes started weeks ago. For others, we are still a few weeks away. For our teachers and our school workers, planning and preparations started well before the official start day takes place. For families and communities, it signals a transition. It signals a new beginning, a new opportunity. So this morning, we want to lift up all those students and teachers who have begun or are ready to tackle these new opportunities that this new school year brings. If you are a student or a current teacher or a school worker, I am going to ask that at this time, would you please stand? I want you to know that we are praying for you this year, and as our entire congregation participates in the responsive reading that will be displayed on our worship screen behind me, I ask that our students and our teachers remain standing, and if you would join me in the reading, I will read the leader part, and the entire congregation will read what is labeled as the people part of the responsive reading. Faithful and ever-present God, we lift to you this morning our concern for education. We raise for you your blessing and guidance all who work and learn in the schools and colleges of this state. We bring to you all our hopes and expectations. We pray for our schools and colleges where generations have gathered for learning, where knowledge has been advanced and individuals have grown. We pray for teachers, administrators, and all who are in education. If y'all read that part, there we go. We pray for teachers, administrators, and all who work in education. We pray for students of all ages who hope for the future, not knowing what the future will bring. We pray for legislators and school board members who spend long hours determining curriculum and shaping policy.
May they seek your guidance.
We pray for those who advocate and volunteer their time to help make schools better. We pray for families who look for fruitful involvement in schools and have decisions to make about their children's education.
May they further the partnership among the schools and find support to make a wise decisions.
God of wisdom, we ask for all of us your blessing and presence as we strive to do your will in this community. Keep us faithful in our caring, ready to support and to challenge. Grant all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, that great student and teacher who came that we might have abundant life. Amen. Now, as our students and teachers remain standing, I want to lift up a prayer for our school year, a blessing of the backpacks. If you are sitting around one of these students and teachers at this time and have the ability to, please just lay your hand on their shoulder, their back, or their arm as a sign of support for them this school year. Let us pray. God of wisdom, we give you thanks for schools and classrooms and for the teachers and students who will fill them each day. We thank you for this new beginning, for new books and new ideas. We thank you for sharpened pencils, pointy crayons, and crisp blank pages waiting to be filled. We thank you for the gift of making mistakes and trying again. Help us to remember that asking the right questions is often as important as giving the right answers. Today we give you thanks for these students, your children, and we ask you to bless them with curiosity, understanding, and respect. May their backpacks be assigned to them that they have everything they need to learn and grow this year in school. Today we give thanks for these educators, also your children, and we ask you to bless them with patience, drive, and passion for you. May they be guided by your love. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, who as a child in the temple showed his longing to learn about you, and as an adult taught by story and example your great love for us. And all God's people said, amen. Now, teachers and students, we have a special gift for you this morning to remember this day and this blessing. May you use these items in the classroom this year. May you enjoy the treat also as a reward for this new school year. Please remain standing as long as you do not have an item in your hand, but as soon as you get that item in your hand, you can be seated. And then I'll call on Deacon Barry Carroll to come in a moment for our offertory prayer.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray that this church today will be a center of worship for you. That the sermon we're about to hear, the beautiful organ music we're about to hear, will bless our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we will make ourselves willing to lead people to you. Lord, I pray that you will bless the offering that is given today. Help us to use your money to your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. Let us pray today as we prepare for God's word this morning. Great teacher, we, your students, are ready for the lessons from your word this day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. Thank you again for joining us on this special day as we celebrate the beginning of the school year, the opportunities to grow and learn that our students have this year, the opportunities to instill wisdom that our teachers and school employees have, and the opportunities to grow within our family and our community. This has been an exciting morning. It will continue to be an exciting day for our church family. We cannot wait for this afternoon, this evening, as we celebrate with our community for our second annual block party. I hope you will enjoy join us this afternoon, and I hope that excitement carries us through this entire new school year. So Peter walked up to the teacher's desk at the end of the first quarter, holding up his report card that had a big red F glowing from the page. He said to his teacher, "Miss Jones, if I were you, I would change this grade while you still can." "Well, why is that?" Miss Jones replied. "Well, because my daddy told me that if I brought home one more failing report card, someone was going to get a beating. And it surely is not going to be me." Did you have a parent like that? Or perhaps more importantly, were you a student like young Peter? Did you ever fail a class, or at very least brought home a failing grade on a paper or a test to your parents? Sometimes we do fail in life, but that does not make us failures. Because, let's face it, we do fail here and there. Did you know that one of baseball players that set the major league record for strikeouts set the record at 1,316 strikeouts in a career? That same player also set a record for 5 consecutive strikeouts in a World Series game. That's pretty impressive, right? That's a lot of strikeouts, not only for a career, but also in a game. The holder of both records is a name you probably recognize, Babe Ruth, one of the greatest sluggers of all time. You see, everybody fails, even seemingly people who are great at what we consider people who are great at what they do. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Another way to say that in modern day terms is we all make mistakes. We all fail. We all fail in something, but we cannot let our failures get us down. If we do, we will stay down, and God does not want us to stay in the pits of gloom and doom, in discouragement and depression. Baseball great Reggie Jackson once said, "I feel that the most important requirement in success is learning to overcome failure. You must learn to tolerate it, but never accept it." If you didn't realize it, I'm a baseball fan. I'm not a Yankees fan, though. What about them Braves? That's all I got to say. There is a cure for pit living and for failing in life. Psalm 40 gives us a hint at it. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on the rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand." The Lord is the only cure for failures of life. He can lift us up, make us whole, and give us a new direction in life. But we must constantly and consistently cry out to him, look to him, lean on him, learn from him, and most importantly, love him. Life is full of failing, But we must keep going forward, and we can overcome it with the Lord's help and grace. So this morning, as we think about this time of year, this new school year, how our Christian life, our Christian walk, is similar to going to school. So I'm going to transport you back to school. Many of us have been out of school for a few years, some more years than I have been. But I'm going to transport you back to school this morning and take you back to some lessons that we all have learned and we're going to learn again, and how it applies to our faith life this morning. So we're going to look at three different verses this morning. You see those on the wall behind you, and I'm going to point out these at certain points during our sermon. So if you have your Bible with you, you can kind of flip to all three of them. Start with Hebrews 5:12, and I'll get to that one in a moment. But each lesson is something that applies to school, it applies to life, but more importantly, it applies to your faith. And I encourage you to take them with you today. Students and teachers, take them into the classroom this year. Families, take them into your homes this year at this new time of year of school. And community, take this into how you interact with those students and teachers you might run into this year. Because guess what? You are. I was at the grocery store this week, got into line behind six different college students piling up their food and drink for their dorm rooms or their apartments. And it was great. I talked to every last one of them, invited every last one of them to our cookout this week. I don't know if they'll come or not, but they know who I am now. So anyway, so opportunities to reach out. Our first lesson that I think we all need to learn is this. We go to school to simply learn. The children in the third grade elementary school class had all been photographed. And the teacher, Miss Harris, was trying to persuade them each to buy a copy of this class photo. Just think how nice it will be to look at this photo when you are all grown up and say, hey, there's Jessica, she's a lawyer. Or, hey, there's Stephen, he's a doctor. A small voice at the back of the room rang out and said, hey, there's Miss Harris, our teacher, she's dead. Basically, we go to school or are sent to school to learn. Hopefully not this life lesson echoed by this third grade child, but lessons none the same. But to learn what? In the old days, it was reading, writing, and arithmetic. We all remember that, right? But it's changed through the days. And we did learn the basics of life, basics of education. The basics are vitally important. Without them, no one will get far in life if we don't learn the basics. Listen to these words in our first focal verse this morning, which is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Sorry, I had it pulled up and I didn't open my Bible. There it goes. Hebrews 5, verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, this may sound like a little odd verse coming from the author of Hebrews, but he's basically talking about those elemental truths that we need from the beginning. These elementary truths may well be the basics which we all need to know no matter where we might go in life. So what are some of the elementary truths of God's word that we need to build our faith life upon? First, God created humanity for fellowship with Him, but humanity sinned and broke that fellowship with God. Second, God gave humanity a law to live by, but humanity broke that law. Third, God loves all people intensely and has provided a way for them to be saved. God sent His Son to save us. We accept Him by faith. Fourth, God is gracious and will save us but because of who Jesus is and what he did for us. It's nothing about what we do. It's about what he did for us. And then fifth, when we die, we will spend eternity with God and Christ and with those who have believed and trusted in them if we put our faith in him. We will fellowship together, we'll worship together, we'll love together, and we'll serve our God of love together. Those are the foundational points of our faith. Everything else that we believe are built on those five foundational points. Everything is built from there. If we don't get the foundation, we can't build on anything else. Now, it pays to remember these basic elementary truths of God's Word. They help us to govern and direct our lives and how we function on a daily basis. They are the foundation on which our house, our lives are built daily. No foundation or a poor foundation means not much of our life is going to go right if we aren't starting from there. John Adams once said this, there are two types of education in life. One should teach us how to make a living, and the other how to live. The first is what you get in school. The other are those foundational points I just talked about. We go to school to get an education in order to make a living, but perhaps the most important education is learning how to live. So where does this start? I would have to say that it starts in the home. Here we learn the basics of right and wrong, about morals, about loving others, among other things, many other life lessons. Proverbs 1:8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. If you had godly parents who gave you godly advice, then thank God for them. We also learn a lot in the working world. We may learn a trade, but also learn about dealing with people. I learned early in my life that when you are talking to someone, when you're having a one-on-one conversation with someone else, they prefer to have your undivided attention. And the best respect that you can show someone when you're having a conversation with them is to look them straight in the eye, because they deserve that, right? We don't like to talk to someone who's looking off or ready to walk down the hallway. Look them straight in the eye and give them the attention they deserve. Why? Because people are important. They're one of God's creations. Good listening is a skill that most of us were never taught. It's just learned. I suppose that Jesus gave people his full attention and undivided attention. I can imagine him sitting with countless individuals and staring at them right in the eye, listening to every word, absorbing that conversation. This is something that we need to learn. Hopefully, we learn about how to live by going to Sunday school and worship as well, going to vacation Bible school as children, going to opportunities of Bible study. A Christian education is vitally important. We all should want to learn more about God, to learn more about Christ and how to live a faithful life. Now, I'm sure each of us can name an important life lesson we learned within the walls of a church building at some point in our life. I hope you can. Many of us can remember a Sunday school teacher that had an impact on our lives. Two speak to me. I had a first grade Sunday school teacher at Connect Memorial Baptist Church. Her name was Dot Malone. She taught first grade Sunday school teacher probably for 50 or 60 years. And she poured into me the importance of loving in a gentle, compassionate way. She cared about every first grade child that sat in her class. In a special way, she taught me what it meant to look at someone and to listen. It didn't matter what you wanted to share with Dot Malone, she cared. Every birthday, you got a card from Dot Malone, a birthday card. Something that wasn't just a card, it was a handwritten note in it. Dot Malone cared. This was reinforced later in life here at First Baptist when, as a young teenager, a seventh grader, eighth grader, Alan Spivey was my youth Sunday school teacher, Sunday after Sunday, faithfully being present and pouring into a group of teenagers, oftentimes teenage boys, that did not want to be in Sunday school on Sunday morning, and I'm guilty as charged, didn't want to be here, but guess what? He was there every Sunday morning, and I could count on it. Every Sunday. It didn't matter if the weather was bad outside. It didn't matter what was going on. Alan Spivey was always there. That's commitment. The lessons we learn. We go to school to learn, but we also live to learn. We learn from many things and many people. The important thing is to never stop learning. If you think you know it all, guess what? You do not. You don't know it all. And if you do not want to learn, guess what? You need to change because you're wrong. Be open to learning about the good in life, imitating the qualities of life that we see in others, and absorb them and let them change who you are, because we go to school to simply learn. The second lesson in life that we need to learn is this. We have many teachers when it comes to school. Life is like going to school in the sense that we have so many teachers that we can learn from. A seventh grade teacher, Mr. Simon, injured his back during the summer and had to wear a plaster cast around the upper part of his body. It fit under his dress shirt and was not noticeable at all as he began the new school year. On the first day of school, still with the cast underneath his shirt, he found himself assigned to the toughest students in all of the school. Walking confidently into that rowdy classroom, he opened the window as a breeze began to blow in, and it made his tie flap in the wind. He quickly sat at his desk. He grabbed the desk stapler on his desk, picked it up, and he stuck the stapler right against his tie, and he stapled it to his chest. You could have heard a pin drop in that seventh grade class that day. With wide eyes and mouths gaping, he slowly put the stapler back on his desk. And that from that moment on, Mr. Simon did not have any problems of discipline in that class for the school year. Did you ever have a teacher like that? We have a variety of teachers in life, right? Some quiet, some loud, some outgoing, some laid back, some joyful, some somber. And the list goes on and on and on. But I can probably guess that each one of you can think back in your memory and name the one or two teachers that had that most significant impact on your life. It is great to have teachers who believe in you and pour into you. Paul was one of those teachers that believed in his students and that poured into his students. He poured his life into the early church, and some listened better than others. We pick up one of these stories in the focal verse for this, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Listen to these words. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now, when Paul went and preached, his goal was to share God's love with everyone. His ultimate hope was that these new Christians would ultimately absorb the information and do the exact same thing that he was doing. They would become teachers to others. They would share the faith with others. Good teachers help produce God's love in our hearts and our lives to the point that we want to share it. Of course, we have all come across teachers whose lessons may sound a little different or a little strange. We cannot believe all teachers in our lives. So how do we know who we should be listening to and whose information we should be sharing. We hold their life lessons up to God's word. We must be discerning in regard to what anybody is teaching. This is what the Bereans were doing in Acts chapter 17. This is what he's saying right here. They received the word with eagerness, and then they examined the scriptures daily. They were applying and seeing what Paul was teaching and said, does this hold up to who we know that God is? We should use God's word as a guideline as to what people are teaching, and we will not go wrong if we do. While we may have many teachers in life, God's word is always our measuring stick. That brings us to our third and final life lesson for today. We ultimately hope to graduate. Life is like going to school in a sense that we want to graduate. We hope to graduate. Joe and Bill were having a conversation one day. Joe said, that college turns out some great men. Bill replied, yep. When did you graduate? Joe replied, I didn't graduate. I was just simply turned out. Did you graduate or were you simply turned out? Even if we graduate from college with a degree, we still continue to learn about life. If not, something is wrong with our lives. The philosopher Will Durant said, 60 years ago, I knew everything. Now I know nothing. Education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance. I admit today that the more I know, I realize how little I really do know. Looking back at Hebrews 5, we read a little bit earlier, the author was saying that we are often slow to learn. I think we are all slow to learn when it comes to God. I think when it we come to try to learn more about Christ and the Bible, we're oftentimes slow to learn. And when it comes to spiritual matters, we're the slowest of all. We are quick to learn the things of the world, but not the things of God. Our spiritual ignorance oftentimes betrays us. The Barna Research Group recently did a poll that showed that while many revere the Bible, by and large, we do not read it. And since they do not read it, we do not read it, we are growing into a nation of what they like to term biblical illiterates. Fewer than half of adults can name the four Gospels. Many Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the 12 disciples. 60% of Americans cannot name five or more of the Ten Commandments. If we are biblically illiterate, this leads to the slippery slope of being spiritually illiterate. So how then can we graduate? If that's our ultimate hope, how then can we graduate? Hebrews 5 says that at some point, we should be transitioning from being a student to being a teacher. But instead, we're having to be taught all over again. We're constantly being taught over and over and over again things that we should have absorbed a long time ago. We all should be graduating to the point of being teachers of God's word and God's love so we can pass it on to someone else. And this brings us to our final focal verse this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Listen to these words. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So what should we do? We keep learning. We don't give up. We keep learning. And in that learning, we start being willing to share our faith, share these life lessons. And that's part of going forward. We don't fall back. We keep moving forward. Because if we stay still, we're not doing what God has called us to do. And if we start sliding back, we're definitely not going in the right direction. We move forward. We keep moving forward to graduate. And ultimately, we graduate. And of course, our ultimate graduation is not about a diploma. It's not about shaking the president of the university's hand. It's not about taking pictures with our family members and throwing our hat in celebration at the end. It's about being in the presence of God forever. That's the ultimate graduation. And that is a day that we all should plan and look forward to if we're a student of Him. So in closing this morning, one final story. A young man who had just graduated from college rushed out into the world and said and screamed to the world, "Here I am, world. I have my BA. I am ready." The world replied back to him, "Sit down, son, and I will teach you the rest of the alphabet." We may graduate from many different schools, but our education must go on. As someone once said, a child educated only at school is only partially educated. Every single day we learn something new. That is, we are open to something new. But of course, the greatest education of all is about God and Christ. So as we prepare for this new school year, whatever we fall in that category, whether we're sending our children off to school, whether we're a teacher entering the classroom, whether we're a grandparent praying for our grandchildren going to school, whether we live in the community of Elon and we have students in our backyard that are going to school, whether we are just in the realm of thinking back to going to school, or we just reflect on those wonderful days when we were in the classroom. Whatever it is, may we not forget those three lessons. We go to school to simply learn. We have many teachers in school, and our ultimate goal is to graduate. However, may our focus always be very direct. An anonymous quote to ponder on as we close. Nature forms us. Sin deforms us. School informs us, but only Christ transforms us. Blessings upon this year. Let's pray. Father, as we pray for this school year, as we anticipate the change that will take place this year for all our families, for our community, for each and every one of us, we lay ourselves in your hands as your students, thanking you for the life lessons that you've placed in our lives, those foundational pieces that have laid the foundations for so many years, and we continue to move forward so we can become teachers of those lessons to so many others. Father, we pray that we will be lifetime learners, but also providers and leaders of your life lessons to all we encounter this day and every day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, Jesus Paid It All, one of those life lessons that we hold tight and hold proud to. Maybe this morning you realize for the very first time who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for you. One of those foundational pieces, I'll be down front. If you want to come and talk to me what that means, if you're looking for a church body who seeks to lift up our community in prayer and to minister into our community, or just is seeks to honor God through those life lessons as we seek to educate here, let me talk to you about what First Baptist Church of Elon and who we are and what it means to be a part of our family of believers here. Or maybe just today you're weighing heavy where you are. You're praying about things. The pew is a wonderful place to pray. The altar is a wonderful place to pray as well. It is God's altar. Come and pray up here. I'll pray with you as well. Wherever it is, don't put off that commitment. Whatever God is laying on your heart today, don't put it off. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. As you leave today, know you go out into a world that is transforming as we speak into a new school year. Pray. Pray for those that are going in this change. Pray for those that are in the midst of this change. And pray for all that, those that you encounter. If you see a college student as you leave this morning, tell them about our cookout this afternoon at 5 o'clock. I hope we'll see all of you back here no later than 5. Come out earlier to help out with the cookout. Go in peace this morning.